out, I thought of everything. Then you show me you're more beautiful than I'd imagine. And I knew you were a king. But you're more beautiful, a king, than I could ever fashion.
There's a lot of advantages to getting to be an old timer. You can say a lot of things that you couldn't say when you were younger and get away with it. At least I thought that was the case till my wife reminded me that I don't get away with it with her. And once she said that, I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm not getting away with it with you either. I don't know. How many really have been to the new website? It's awesome. Go to copaustin.com. And Darren got that started, and Bill's been working on it and doing a great job. Bill V, not Bill Hart, by the way. I call him the V. Call me the H. But it looks great. We got the media part up where you can listen to messages. 42 people have just listened to a Lift the Veil message. And different people.
Amen.
I don't know if it's different people or not. It could be the same person over and over. Actually, it was me. I kept pushing the button. That way, I could think a lot of people are listening. It's kind of like you go into the bookstore and buy your own books, you know. When our book first came out, Show Me Your Glory, back in 2005, you know, I'd go to Amazon and different places and order a book, you know, so that at least then I'd look a week later, how many book sales have you had? Well, I've had two. And I was a proud owner of one of those books. Now you can go on there and you can find my books for $1.50. You know, they're used books. I'd be careful about buying used glory books. Because what happens when you read a glory book, the glory tends to rub off. And then the next guy that reads it, there's not much left. It's called Rub Me Off Glory. We're potentially going to have an interactive message this morning, or a group participation message, but I can't promise that we'll get that far. Let's look in the book of Psalms chapter 51, and also let's look in the book of Romans chapter 8. This is a noteless message. So, in other words, it could go anywhere. And it being this old part, I might get this point one preached several times. Just remind me, if I'm preaching point one more than once, just say point two, please. I'm really not goofy this morning. I just haven't eaten in 4 days, and so my mind is a little bit weird. I'm joking about that, by the way. I don't believe in fasting. At least not from food. Now, there's some other things I can give up a lot easier than I could the food. I need my side lights on up there, guys. And Psalms 51. Okay, now you can see me in all my glory. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the basic nature of mankind is to be a sinner. This is kind of a loaded question I'm going to ask you. How many here this morning are sinners? No. That's not the right answer. Would everyone please bow your head and close your eyes? No, the point is, point number two. The basic nature of God is righteousness. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And so you have two natures. You have God nature, which is righteous. You have mankind's nature, which is sinful. Now, that doesn't mean that you're sinful, because if you're redeemed here this morning, you're not sinful any longer. You've been set free from that. But in order to become righteous conscious, that's the challenge. That's the place that we want to get to. We want to get to the point where we have a consciousness of righteousness. The book of Hebrews talks about that how the Lord cleanses us from the consciousness of sin. He literally takes away from us the thought, the memory, the condemnation, the stain of what sin was to our life. Because see, in the economy of God, we have to understand everything is provided and is coming to us in a package. Right. God gives a package deal, doesn't he? It's a complete package. He didn't leave anything out. It's kind of like you go in to interview for a job at a corporation and they give you a package. And usually part of their package is there's also a shaft in there. Because they also may make provision that you can get shafted out of your package. But in God, he gives you a package that there's no lack in that. And in God's economy, everything comes from a place of fullness. In man's economy, everything comes from a place of lack. And so what we're finding in this hour, when we talk about the gospel, we must understand that the gospel is the complete provision of God for his people. Amen. The gospel is the complete provision of God for his people. And we've got to see the provision and not perceive what the lack is. Because as long as you focus on the lack, you'll never have a revelation of the fullness or the provision. So it's how you approach the thing. It depends on what you get. You really get what you believe for. You really get what you're conscious about. So a lot of people come from a negative trying to find a positive, but it's very difficult to ever come from a negative place in order to find a positive response. We've got to understand that we need to come from a positive position first, never from a negative position, because if you're always trying to find some cure for the lack that's in you, or the insufficiency or the inadequacy that's in you, then you're always be finding another place of inadequacy or lack to draw from to try to find a cure for. Is that making any sense, or does that sound like a riddle? Be honest. Okay. And so what we're finding happening in this process of revelation that God's bringing us through right now is the consciousness, our consciousness is changing. In other words, we call it a paradigm. A paradigm is what you base everything you believe on. And so when you line up with a certain paradigm, and that's why in corporate America, the people have paradigms, they have paradigm shifts, they call it. They try to get people's minds out of one position into another position. Well, in the kingdom of God, it's the same thing. The Lord said that we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so there's a conscious shifting that takes place in your mind, and that literally determines the extent and the ability of you to appropriate the salvation of God to your life. Because if your mind is always focused upon what you don't have, you'll never find what he has. You've got to, even when you don't have anything, you've got to look under that where the fullness is in order to get anything for you. So it's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Never looking unto yourself to be the author or the finisher of anything. The more you look to yourself, the more you'll be bound by yourself. The more you look to your sin as an issue or the devil as an issue, you'll be bound by that paradigm. Should we be conscious of devils? It's kind of a loaded question. Should you be conscious of devils? In my opinion, no. Now, if a devil presents himself, then I take care of him. Whether he presents himself trying to work through me or through another situation. But I'm not going to be looking for devils. I'm going to be looking for provision. I'm going to be looking for fullness. I'm not looking for anything on the negative side. I'm only focusing on the positive side. And I think that's pretty scriptural, isn't it? Because if you look at it this way, it said the Lord will remember no more your lawless deeds. So in God's consciousness, he never sits around and thinks about how bad you are. Wouldn't it be horrible to have that kind of a God that he just sits around all day and says, man, I'm going to find some faults in those people. I got to find some problems. Because, man, I'm good at solving problems. I know what to do with problems. I'll whomp them on the head. I'll kill them suckers. I'm glad God's not thinking that way. Because he could find a lot of faults, couldn't he? I wrote something on Facebook the other day. It was kind of goofy. I usually write stuff about 1 o'clock in the morning just before I'm fixing to go to sleep. So if some of you find that I misspell things and confuse a few words, then you'll have grace for me. But I wrote that love is like paint, liquid paint. And after I wrote that, I said, all paint's liquid. of course, unless it's spray paint, and then, you know, it's, I don't know what you call that. But I said, it's like liquid paint that flows, the love of God, and it flows on an imperfect surface filled with cracks and holes and marred and stained and dirty. And that as that paint flows on that and it begins to rise on that surface, pretty soon all the flaws are hidden. I said, that's like the love of God. Amen. It flows and just fills up all the imperfections, covers the imperfections, and it's scriptural because it said love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that crazy? I mean, so in other words, if we could get enough love, would that solve any problems? Do we have enough love already? That's a loaded question. Do we have enough love already? Yes. Do you think God has more love than what he's already demonstrated? No. He's already demonstrated all the love that could be demonstrated. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My God, what else do you want to ask of him? How much more do we want him to give us? He gave his only begotten son. We don't need to say, God, we need more. Give us more love. He's already given it. The problem is that we're not looking at it or focusing on it or receiving it. Because we're trying to get love in there. At the same time, we're still concerned with what we're not. As long as you're concerned with what you're not, you never can be concerned with what you are. Amen. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If one minute you're confessing how much of a sinner you are, and the next minute you're saying, well, but I'm such a sinner, but yes, I'm righteous. But I'm a sinner. No, I'm righteous. Oh, I'm a sinner, but I'm righteous. As long as you keep flip-flopping, you never really become good at either thing.
Yeah, come on.
You're not really a good sinner because you don't want to be anymore. Yet you're not really walking in fullness and righteousness because you're still thinking about what you don't have and what you should. What have you messed up in your life? I know that just blows your religious theology right out the door. Because in religion always, and Karl Marx even said it so well, religion is the opiate of the people. It's like a drug, because what religion does, it just keeps pushing around the dirt. Push the dirt over in this corner for a while, then someone looks, oh, there's dirt in the corner. No, we'll put it in that corner then, maybe they won't see it. Just keep pushing the dirt around a little bit. Put your, you know, well, I pushed down one sin. Man, I was just had so much pride in my life, and I was so prideful, but I pushed it down, bless God. Oops, now I got some lust popping up over here. What do I do about that? Push that down, okay. Push that down, okay. Now I got jealousy. Oh, well, push it down. You know, now I got this one. Now I got anger. Well, push that anger down. So we push a sin down, and another one pops up. That's how sin nature is. If you try to overcome sin with your willpower, you're simply going to cause another one to manifest.
That's right.
Because the root of sin, the creation of it, is not what you do in the flesh. It's not how it manifests in the flesh, but it's what's been conceived in your heart. And the Lord goes to the very depth of your heart And that's where the cleansing takes place. Psalms 51, I need to read some scripture here. I like what David said. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. So the first way you overcome sin and overcome the negative things in your life is that you become honest.
That's right. Come on.
Okay? You become honest. And it said, in the hidden part, you'll make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, I like some of these words here. Everybody say this with me. Purge me.
Purge me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Make me.
Make me.
Purge me.
Purge me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Make me.
Make me.
So it's the process, isn't it? Where God purges us of our sins. Now, when I talk about don't be aware of the sin nature, does that mean I believe that everyone's walking around in righteousness? No. Not everyone out there is walking around in righteousness. And maybe you're not walking in that much righteousness this morning yourself. But that doesn't mean you can't walk in it.
Right.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't walk in it.
Right.
Because it's a fine line that separates you from walking in sin and walking in righteousness. Everybody point to your mind. Say, in this inward man, this inward mind, lies all truth and righteousness. Now, that's not what you have in you, but it's what Christ is in you. See, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you now have the mind of Christ. Now, if you have the mind of Christ, are you going to have the mind of sin?
If
you're going to have the mind of Christ, are you going to have the mind of defeat?
No.
You're going to have a mind of fear?
No.
Anxiety?
No.
If you have the mind of Christ, are you going to have a spirit of peace?
Yes.
Right. Are you going to have a sense of righteousness?
Yes.
For we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So nothing that I am, can I change myself by myself? It's by His purging, by His washing, by His sacrifice. When Christ died on the cross, at that moment, when I accept that sacrifice, then that salvation becomes part of my experience. So He washes me, He purges me, and He makes me to hear joy and gladness. In the verse 6, He creates in me. He renews in me. So He creates in me a clean heart and renews a steadfast spirit within me. So theoretically, I could be the worst sinner in America today and be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus tomorrow. Is that true?
Yes.
What separates that? What is separating me from becoming that? Me. I'm the one that separates that. Because it's the moment I believe. See, the Bible said if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it will result in your salvation. So if I believe and I confess, then I can go be transformed from the worst sinner in America today to becoming a righteous man tomorrow. Or not, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. I can do it right now. It can happen for me right now. I can have in me created right now a clean heart. See, but the issue becomes this. If you are still reserved in your confession or your belief, then your salvation is not really taking place in you. And what happens is that sometimes we get so convinced that we've done something so bad or we've had a pattern of disappointment and a pattern of sin for so long that really we can't change. And as long as you keep thinking that you'll not change, you won't change. As long as you keep thinking that there's a devil under every other pillow, there's a devil under every pillow.
Yeah.
You know, when the little kids, a lot of little kids, they'll say, well, there's a monster in the closet or under the bed. Well, we know there's no monster really there, right? But to them, it's like there is a monster there. They're just as convinced there's a monster there as anything. I mean, you say, well, there's no monster. Yes, there is a monster. No, there's no monster. Yes, there's a monster. Well, their reality is that there's a monster. See, and as long as you think there's a devil behind it, as long as you think that you're not worthy, as long as you think that you aren't going to measure up because of your sins, then guess what? You won't. Because even if that sin has been taken away by Jesus Christ, and he said he took it away, he said he's cast it as far as from the east as the west to remember it no more. He says no longer do you have to walk under the oppression and the condemnation or the judgment of sin because he became judgment on your behalf. As long as you perceive that that's not taking place, then that sin is still a reality to you and it still has you bound. So you're bound by your perception because your perception is your reality. So if you think, Sister Ann is talking about Sister Sally. I mean, Ann thinks that Sister Sally's talking about her, but yet she really wasn't talking about her. But as long as Sister Ann thinks that Sister Sally's talking about her to her, then Sister Sally's become her enemy, and she's really not her enemy at all. Maybe it's really her best friend. See, your perception becomes your reality. Well, that sounds like mind over matter. Well, I don't care what it sounds like. That's how it works for you. Your perception is your reality. Whatever you believe in your heart is your reality. So do you still believe you're a sinner? Do you still believe that you're a failure? See, whoever controls the inner man controls the whole man. Is the devil's influence? What does the Bible say, the Lord say about the devil? It says a lot of things, but the most important thing, I think, he says that he's a liar. And he's the father of lies. So anything that comes to contradict what Jesus Christ has declared over you is a lie. Amen? It's a lie. But a lot of people believe the lie more than they believe the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. So if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, what is the devil? The devil is the lie, the darkness, and the deception. So anything that causes you to believe something other than what Christ has proclaimed over you is a liar, is a deceiver, it's darkness. And the Lord said, I'm going to bring you out of darkness. See, the devil, Satan's works in the realm of darkness. And so God defeated Satan by letting Jesus manifest himself in the flesh. And so when Jesus manifested in the flesh and took your sins for you, said all of our sins were laid upon him. So every sin that you ever committed, that you've committed in the past, that you committed today, that you commit tomorrow, it's all been made provision for by what Jesus Christ did for you. And if you're throwing a lot of butts in there right now, then you're still walking in darkness. But you don't understand, preacher. That guy really is a sinner. Well, you are too now for judging. That's why you, if you judge not, you'll not be judged. But if you judge, you'll be judged. By the same measure you mete it out, it'll be meted back to you. So if you start extending grace and mercy, and if you start extending grace and mercy and forgiveness to people, who does that remind you of? Well, Jesus is a high priest, isn't he? That means he's the priest of all priests. And we then, the Bible said, we are also priests unto our God. So what's the mission of a priest? Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. No, the mission of a priest is to be able to come to God on your behalf for your forgiveness. So how many here are priests? We're all priests, aren't we? Thank God that took a long time. It took hundreds of years for that perception to come down that God's people were not priests. You don't need me as a confessional booth. You don't need to come to me. Thank God you don't need to come to me. And confess your sins to me. I don't want to know your sins. And don't expect me to get up with some tear-stained eyes and weeping before you confessing mine either. I'm not about to do that. We've seen too much of that on TV already. Not that I have anything to confess. But if I do, I'm going to go directly to the Lord. Now, if I offend you, I need to confess to you, right? If I offend you, and probably most of you, I need to come see and ask your forgiveness. See, so the devil works in the darkness. He's always sowing seeds of discord, and he's always sowing lies, and he'll put thoughts in your head about your brother or sister. You know, I talked one time about the Father's family, and I said, one of the challenges of being in the Father's family is that everything that we are is revealed to everyone else. And so that's where we have to really learn to love. Because, you see, you don't have a pastor or pastors in this church that are wearing some superficial robe that and some pseudo smile and some kind of presentation that gives you the so that you can look to them and say, look how perfect they are. We let it all hang out. And so the challenge becomes, can you love someone when they're letting it all hang out? Can you love one another when we're just who we are? And don't say I'm a sinner saved by grace. Forget that. I'm no longer a sinner saved by... I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace, but I'm not walking every day with the consciousness of my sin. I'm walking with the revelation of the fullness of God in my life, and I'm appropriating that fullness into my life every day. Amen. Woo. Romans chapter 8. Almost forgot. I'm having so much fun, I can't stand it. You know, in West Texas, Marjorie, we used to call it, I'm busting a gut. I like Nick because he was born in Borger, Texas. I don't like Borger, Texas, but I like people that are born in the panhandle. They're more righteous than people from other places. Romans chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Everybody say, I'm free now from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. So the law couldn't do it, could it? If the law could have done it, we never would have needed Jesus.
That's right.
You know, but a lot of Christians still want to live under the law. Because there's just something perverse about the human nature. If we can just feel a little oppressive, because the law, you know, I offended some people here years ago. Travis remembers quite well. I was preaching on the Ten Commandments, and my commandment was, "Thou shalt not follow the Ten Commandments." We got to have the Ten Commandments plastered on the State House Capitol. We got to have the Ten Commandments printed up and distributed to everybody because everybody needs to know, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not." We don't need the Ten Commandments. Oh! Well, that I tell you, that just freaks out the religious world when you say that. Because they'll come back and say, yeah, but you got to have a moral compass to walk by. I tell you, when the Spirit of Christ is in you, and the mind of Christ is in you, your moral compass is so much more than the Ten Commandments. You're not thinking about all the time what you shouldn't do. You're thinking about what you should do, what you can do, what you will do in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Don't worry about the shall nots. The shall nots take care of themselves. As long as you get the shalls in. But say, we need a shall instead of a shall not. I'm sorry, I get stirred up when I think about all that stuff. Because, I mean, if you don't believe that, then just tear out the book of Galatians and throw it away. Tear out the book of Romans and throw it, burn it, make a bonfire. Tear out the book of Ephesians. We don't need that. By grace you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why do we need that? As long as we got the law, why do we need all this grace stuff? As long as we got the law and we got all these commandments, then we don't really need Jesus after all. He just kind of came and hung there just so that we could have Christmas.
Come on.
Glory to God. Let's work it on out. We're getting ready just about for that interactive part. All you people that I notified beforehand, put on the glory. Man, he's acting too crazy. I ain't going back to that place. I don't blame you one bit. The law couldn't do because it was weak through the flesh. God did. God did it. 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 Everybody say, God did it. Don't say you did it. Say, God did it. If God did it, then you don't have to do it. So we need to run bumper sticker. I didn't do it. Another one. God did it. God did it. He did it all, didn't he?
Hallelujah.
What a papa we have. Have you thought about how great this papa that we have is? He did it all. Yeah, but what do I do? Nothing. Just believe. But you got to do something. Believe. Oh, I got to strain. I got to grunt. I got to groan. No, believe. Oh, I got to... No, believe. Yeah. If you believe, yeah, it'll happen. So there is something you got to do, right? You got to believe. That's all you got to do is believe. But you don't have to grunt. You don't have to groan. You don't have to paste the Ten Commandments in your bathroom and in your kitchen. And, you know, some people, we should put in the living room, thou shalt not, and then put in the dining room, thou shalt not do this. And some of you should put in the kitchen, thou shalt not overeat. But I don't want to live under that, do you?
No.
See, the more you try to obey the law, the less of the law that you'll be able to obey. Because it becomes a point of contention in your own nature.
Right.
Because you don't really want to obey it. And as long as you put yourself under that subjection, then you got to obey all the laws in order to find righteousness.
One more.
I'm just about through before we get to the interaction part. Okay, verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, everybody sets their minds, on the things of the flesh. And that doesn't have to be just evil things.
That's right.
That's anything that serves the flesh.
Yeah.
Self-righteousness, self-will, self-control,
yeah,
self-determination, self-interest. Anything you set yourself on is the mind of the flesh. But so it says there's another kind of mind, though. There's the mind of the Spirit. So it said, set your mind then on those things that are in the Spirit, who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Can you be in sin and be at peace? No. Can you be in disobedience and be at peace? Can you have inner conflict in you over things that your own spirit of getting your own spirit wrong and be at peace? No. The only way to be at peace is to be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded means that you're walking in the fullness of God. You're not looking to anything from this earth to supply your salvation. See, there's no salvation in this flesh. Everybody say, this flesh, point towards your flesh, punch it, touch it, feel it, rub it, scratch it. This is my flesh, and there's no salvation within me. Lift up your eyes. Now I'm looking unto Jesus. That is my salvation. All my salvation is coming from Him. See, so you come up out of, when you find yourself in a place of chaos, fear, frustration, futility, depression, anxiety, all those things that are trying to rule you, then you lift up your eyes above those things and you look to the one that brings perfect peace, the Prince of Peace.
That's right.
You look to the one that brings salvation,
yeah,
the healing, justification, all the things that He gives you. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. None of it comes from us. Well, I need to change my mind about so-and-so. Don't change your mind. Let His mind dwell in you. Because His mind, let you have your thoughts towards that person. Well, I love that guy if he would do this. No, you love him because Christ first loved him and gave His life for him. Takes you out of judgment. The carnal mind is an enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Everybody say, I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Everybody say, His Spirit dwells in me. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's what I want. I want life flowing into this mortal body.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want life, and I want life more abundantly to flow into my mortal body. Ephesians chapter 6. It says that we're to put on the armor of God. So how do you protect your mind? And I like at this point for Maria Vaughn to come, and Frida, and Jesse, Shara, Eleazar, and Cheryl. And so I want Maria to line up first, then next to her, Frida, then next to Frida, Jesse, next to Jesse, Shara, next to Shara, Eleazar, and finally, last but not least, Cheryl, to be number 6. Okay, I'm going to read this scripture, and then we're going to fulfill what I said we'd do at the first, an interactive message. Because I want these saints to, and that's right, I called you saints. Not sinners, you're saints. Everybody say, these are saints. When you look at these, do you see the white robes? You see the glistening, the glow that comes forth from them? The warm fuzzies that come out of their spirit? They're just emanating up here. And Ephesians 6 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So these are the things that you do to stand against the enemy. You put on the belt of truth. I'll fill my innermost parts with your truth, Lord. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Your righteousness will protect my heart, for out of it will flow then the issues of life. I put on the readiness of the gospel of peace. I'm ready to move ahead and proclaim the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to those in my path. I put on the shield of faith. I lift up the shield of faith, which does not keep me from the battle, but protects me right through the midst of it. Amen. You see, when I talk about having the mind of Christ, it doesn't mean that you won't have attack, you won't have challenges in your life, but you'll have that shield of faith all the way through it. Just keep putting your shield of faith up. It just keeps repelling the fiery darts of the wicked one every time they come against you. You send them right back. And you put on the sword of the Spirit and use your sword, which is the word of God, to defeat the devil, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. So, okay, we're going to start out, and I want Maria to read her scripture and make her proclamation.
Psalm 107:2. My glasses broke. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. I am redeemed.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for delivering us from our enemies. Thank you for delivering us from any curse, sickness, oppression, depression, and thank you for setting us free.
Amen.
How many of us have had a great meal with a bunch of friends, and one of our best friends stands up and says, chill, I have this cover, and they pay. Well, multiply that feeling times a trillion, and our sins are paid for. So, Lord, thank you for paying for our sins and setting us free.
Amen. Frida.
Whoa.
Don't do that.
Okay, my scripture is 1 John 1:7. And it says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So I just proclaim that if you are under the blood of Jesus, you are cleansed from all sin, that you are righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of my testimony, I speak in the blood of the Lamb, I speak forgiveness over each and every one of you. As I was worshiping this morning, I saw a huge white kind of a fog cloud come down the center aisle. And the Holy Spirit just said, it's mercy. And I just really felt like people that really need justice and mercy, if you'll step into the front aisle, if you don't have a revelation of that, that God really wants us to have that revelation, that we are completely cleansed, and that it's a continual thing. I remember when I first got saved, I came out of a really awful background. Believe it or not, they called me the meanest white woman in my school.
I can terrible. Believe that.
I was so angry, and I had so much damage. But, you know, God really changed me, and I remember people were telling me, I really saw Jesus as my advocate, and I had a really hard time accepting my total justification when I first got saved. But every time in my head, when I would hear all the sin from my past or whatever, I would say, you know what? Don't talk to me about that. I gave my past, my present, and my future to Jesus. He has it. So if you want to say anything to anybody, it's all his. It's all
yes.
under the blood. So go talk to him.
Amen. Thank you. Good word. Good word. Jesse.
So I have Romans 5:9, which says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. Him being Jesus. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, what more can we say? I mean, just being completely justified by him, giving us the peace, giving us our grace, giving us our hope. So in Jesus' name, I just bless all of you with that in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Good. I'm justified. I am sanctified. Cher's got the sanctification part. And a sleepy boy.
I have a little help today, a little extra 50 pounds here. Hebrews 13:12. I am sanctified, made holy, and set apart to God. Can each one of you say that with me? I am sanctified, made holy, and set apart to God. Can you really get a revelation of that? He chose you before you were born. He knew every hair on your head. He knew every little idiosyncrasy about your personality. He knew every little thing that you love about yourself or that you don't like about. And every part of that, he created in you to use and as part of his image. So if you can really get a revelation of that, that you are sanctified, that you are holy, and you are set apart to him, I just declare that each one of you gather that revelation, that it just live within you, that it is you in him, his being, that you walk it out, and that you are who he created you to be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good. Eliezer, I am free.
Hi. My scripture is Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So God has made us free from tears. God has made us free from death. Because by he defeating death, he has given us life. So I declare in all of you, rivers of joy and rivers of life, of his life and his joys in our life, floating to everything and everyone that we reach. You know, because water is unstoppable. You know, so we just flow in his rivers of freedom and joy. And live. Blessings to all of you.
I guess we better get the band up here. We're going to sing Rivers of Life. Cheryl, for I'm forgiven.
Ephesians 1:7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. He didn't withhold. He lavished on you. I am forgiven. And
yes.
In John 20, we get the ministry of going out and spreading this incredible news, this good news. Because you're forgiven, you now get to go and forgive. You don't retain. You get to give this precious, lavish treasure away everywhere. You guys carry a message. You're messengers today and every day. So hold that. I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
So hold that in your heart for a moment. Now, how can you withhold from anyone? Tell them they're forgiven. He is a lavisher. So you are now a lavisher. As he is, so are you in this world. You are forgiven. I tell you each one, you are forgiven. Now, go tell them. Because there's a lot of people out there who don't know, but you know. And so now you get to carry the message. I declare you're all messengers of the forgiveness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Massive, vast, without any limitations. And now we get to give it away from your fountain of grace in Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say it with me. I am redeemed. I am cleansed. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am free. I am healed. I am forgiven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Glory to God.